This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.
This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. Now, listen, I'm with Emily Dean and Pierre Novelli, but we're not live today, so don't text us. It's not. There's nothing sinister about it. We're just not available. We haven't been stopped from being live. It's not a gagging thing. No. We just... We can't do it this week. Sorry, we'll be back live soon. You can follow us on X and Instagram at Frank on the Radio and email via Frank at absoluteradio.co.uk. Good morning, my friends.
Morgan.
Good morning.
Before we go anywhere...
Not already.
Yeah, I just want to say to everybody who listens and has listened to this show for a long time that I've read some things this week which have made me proud, emotional, and I love you guys. And that's why I would never leave. They had to shove me out. But I love you guys. No, that's fair enough, isn't it? I was going to say I'm over it, but that would have been a lie. Anyway, great news to start. We've been nominated for the ARIA, the big Academy Award thing in radio, as Best Comedy.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, and as with all great comedy, timing is everything.
It is, it is. It is a fabulous example of Chloe Madeley showing James Haskell what he's missing. I've got my cleavage out. I actually hate it when newspapers say things like blah blah.
Show them what they're missing.
We've talked about this before. Oh, so show the boyfriend what he's missing.
Yeah.
I don't know when I've been dumped previously by ladies.
Yeah.
I don't like. I've split with Kath a few times. My life partner. We've had breaks.
Wow.
And what I miss is things like little way her mouth twitches before she speaks or her winter coat hanging near the front door. Not all those sexy outfit things.
Yeah.
Horrible. Anyway, so we've been... That's great, though. I'm still excited we've got nominated.
Also, I don't like to show them what they're missing. I like to, you know, I basically don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I've got about seven shows left.
No, I'm talking about...
Oh, you've gone
about...
back to... Oh, sorry. I noticed, by the way, the show opens with that Frank Skinner.
Yeah.
I'll be keeping an eye on the skip outside when I leave. I'd quite like to use it to keep that.
Well, like this is a big vinyl.
I think a ringtone. What do you want? Are we allowed to keep... Can we keep
producer? This is something we could always discuss afterwards.
Yes, that's true.
It should be a ringtone for everyone you know.
Yeah,
so
but
that when
Pierre,
you ring them, it...
Yeah, that's
no,
true.
No, yeah, he doesn't want to do that forever. Imagine 5 years' time it'll on his doorbell. Frank Skinner, absolutely.
No, it doesn't. Does it say on it?
Does it?
Does it?
Okay.
I'm also keeping... I'm hoping I can keep my email thing. But I thought slightly modified to Frank Knott on the radio. Look, enough now. We can't go on about this all morning. I am properly, as ever, it's great to get a nomination for anything.
I'm thrilled.
Yeah. So I'm, yes, I'm pleased about that. Unfortunately, of course, for every light, there is always dark.
What's that?
This week, of all weeks, they're talking about putting up the state pension to 68 now before you get it. Oh, so close.
They're keeping that carrot in front of you.
Yeah, I'm seeing me now in about 3 months' time. You know those guys when you see old black and white movies about the Depression? Me on the street. Body, can you spare me a dime?
Yeah. You can have those fingerless gloves and a top hat where the top of the top hat's open like a tin can.
Yes.
Like some cartoon hobo.
Mate, that's what I'm going to become, some bitter old bloke who wanders about in ranks.
what would be in your bindle?
That's extraordinary.
A Kindle. Kindle in my bindle, I know. Dearius.
Dearius.
I'm going to keep in that.
I love Dearius.
I've written it down, Dearius.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means yet, but, you know, I'll come up with something. Yeah, so it's been in the news. I was trending at one point.
Mm. You were trending.
Trending?
No offence, something I never thought I'd see.
Yeah.
And I think my favourite moment of the entire week was the photograph I saw in the Daily Star. They had quite a, you know, a lovely thing about it.
I think we need to need to put a cliffhanger on this because don't think for a second that the hard iron regime of the producer has been relaxed as we hit the home straight. No, no. So we still got, you know, obligations.
Frank, I mentioned earlier, before that musical break, my favourite moment of the entire week was a photograph I saw some coverage in the Daily Star, my paper of choice. As you know.
Well.
And they did a sort of quite serious article about the show coming to an end. But
They did a serious article?
For the Star, I felt it was quite serious.
Okay.
And then the photo they chose to accompany it was taken from our Instagram feed, and it was a photograph of you, me and Pierre standing by the Absolute Radio sign. What they hadn't noticed was that you in the picture had a giant green Grinch hand that you had around our shoulders.
It's a big green glove.
Yeah, I think when we put it up, not many people notice the Grinch hand. Perhaps they think I've got a Grinch hand. People are so sensitive now about, you know, visibility, and quite rightly, can I say. But they might have thought I had like a green, rancid, withered hand.
Well, they'd thought, well, I did see Frank's Grinch hand, but I wouldn't have wanted to mention
it. Yeah, exactly. I'd be wary of mentioning someone's Grinch hand, generally. Yeah.
I also enjoyed quite serious editorials and broadsheets referring to beer killed my pig and sit down with Sinya.
They didn't mention those things.
I didn't
see any of those. That's ridiculous.
Is it surreal that something that you heard a bloke shout at an Albion game is now immortalised in print?
Yes, it is. And reapplied to my life. I don't know how we're going to fit in the one when that bloke missed the sitter and that bloke next to me shouted, he'd have been no good on the 5-inch mortars.
Wow.
A heckle he'd been using since the 40s.
I was going to say. Yeah.
But what I liked is when I was quoted in the paper, this was like, take this, for example. Guess what? Yeah, we didn't. So we're not just going now. I'm not going to say bye. That's the end. Like, we've got that's it. And I thought, anyone reading this is thinking, fair enough, sacking him, isn't it? Hey, I think, he's a muttering, hesitant mess. Who wants to listen to that?
It's not exactly a Gettysburg moment.
I thought, what are they getting this from? A policeman's notebook in a local courtroom.
Like a court transcript.
Wow.
Why didn't they take out the ums and the ums?
I have no idea, but they do make me sound like...
throw a man a bone.
Yeah, like a loser. But I tell you what as well, when the news broke, I was... where were we, Pierre? Carlisle?
Was this JFK? Where were we?
I think we were in Carlisle.
Yes.
Me and Pierre's on tour at the moment. And so I woke up in Carlisle and... the news broke and about, I looked at my phone at about 11, half 10, something like that. I had two texts and one of them was from my partner. So somebody, Kat said, I bet you've had loads of texts. I said, well, there's you and one other. So when I said the loneliest man in the world, I wasn't joking. I bet you guys were inundated, weren't you?
Well, to be fair, you're not on social media.
I'm just dated.
Yeah, you're just...
Stop it now.
Stop it, Frank.
Yes.
In fairness, if you were on social media, you'd have seen the deluge.
I love a deluge, generally. I read about the Catalonia. In Catalonia, they had a massive drought recently. And so the Catholic Church took a model of the Virgin Mary and carried it around the streets whilst praying for rain. And they only just managed to complete the procession because of the heavy rain that suddenly appeared.
Oh.
Yeah, so, you know, good news.
Frank Skinner on Absolute. Absolute Radio.
I was in Carlisle with Pierre, and we went to Carlisle Cathedral, which is fantastic.
We were pretty surprised.
It's one of the... Oh, really?
Is it a good one?
As I wrote in the visitor's book, best misery chords I've ever seen. Do you know what a misery chord is?
I don't.
You know, sometimes on trains and things, you get those seats that aren't proper seats, but you can just about get your bottom on and stand up, and it just gives you a sort of standing seat.
Yes. That's parrot perches.
Yeah, well, they have those. Choirs have those. So some of the people are sort of nearly standing up, but just like a sort of half bottom on the thing. And these ones were very ornate. They had dragons and things like that on. That's brilliant. I took some photos. I might put one up. They had one of my... They had my favourite, in inverted commas, mythological character, the mermaid.
Yes.
Oh, you love a mermaid.
I still think one day...
That you'll bump into one?
No, I think there's going to be... I'm going to get an alert on my phone and they'll say mermaid found off the coast of Faroe Islands or something like that.
Well, BBC News alert noise and then...
Yeah, I would say... I know it's unlikely, but I would say of all the, you know, the mythologicals, ghosts, Bigfoot...
Yes.
Who else is there?
Dracula.
Yeah.
Oh, not Dracula, because he's a fictional... But ones that people believe...
I draw the line at vampires.
Don't be silly.
We've got to have standards here.
You just reminded me of... You know Family Fortunes? You're familiar with that show? When Bob Monkhouse did it, way back when, they had a woman... You know, two people go up to the counter and you have to go quick to answer fast like that. And the question was, like, name someone... whose existence has never been proved, but who people still believe in. Mm. And this guy went, Hitler. And Bob Monko said, I'm pretty sure his existence has been proved. And then the old woman, you don't have to bang it after someone's already banged it, but she banged it and said, driving licence.
I love
what?
Her.
And she was answering the what would you find in your handbag question from the previous round and noticed that a new question had begun.
Oh, my word.
But I think of all the unproven, mythical, probably don't exist
creatures.
Like Loch Ness. Yeah, whatever. Loch Ness Monster.
Abominable? Do you like Abominable?
I think, again, most likely, yes. In my opinion.
Okay.
I mean, what about that for a... We could do that. We can't do a texting today. Don't text because we're not live. But we could do a Twitter thing. What do you think is the most likely unproven thing that might exist? I don't know quite how to put it.
Yeah.
It's an anagram of a very
it's
good
It's all gone a bit
tweet.
Armour.
It has gone back to my armour.
When you get...
people must think, is this a Mike Lee character they're implying?
Frank, can I ask, do you think it's a bit cruel to call it abominable? Like,
yeah.
It's a bit rude. They could have just said frightening.
It's a bit leading the witness.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely
evil
awful.
Snowman.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just quite extreme language, I think, to make that his title.
Unless they all have one, you know.
That's true.
Or maybe, dubious ghosts.
I suppose he is abominable compared to your average snowman that some kids would just make out of snow.
Yeah,
this one's hairy and has teeth.
I think it's probably good to distinguish him from that. But the mermaids, there are all... I suppose you'd call them a school of mermaids as they're half fish. There's a whole school of mermaids that used to apparently tempt sailors onto the rocks.
Yes. Never see old mermaids, though, do you?
No, funnily enough, I went to an exhibition by, I think he was a Norwegian painter, and there was some quite, not just old mermaids, but like mermaids who look like they'd slit your throat type mermaids.
I like
stocky.
I like a menopausal mermaid.
Yeah, stocky, sort of slightly let themselves go mermaids, which you don't often see in art, but these ones were,
fish is very lean.
Yeah, exactly. These get the, what's he called, Ozempic. Yeah, get to throw some Ozempic at like ground bait.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
etiquette question to ask you. You were talking about...
You know, my dad always pronounced etiquette etiquity.
Oh, I prefer that.
Yeah. And instead of Somerset Maugham, you know Somerset Maugham, the writer, he always called him Somerset Maugham.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, but he wasn't kidding around. Like, people deliberately, he wouldn't hear.
It wasn't an intentional spoonerism.
It's not actually a
spoonerism. Oh, is it not a spoonerism, is it? I do apologise.
I just
Frank, do you want to explain what the spoonerism is?
A spoonerism would be, I'm trying to think of a clean one. Like, if you said if it was like filthy weather and you said it was wilthy feather.
Or Reverend Spooner said to one of his students, "You have hissed all of my mystery lectures and tasted a whole worm."
Yeah, that's very good.
That sounds like him.
Yeah.
Yes, you were talking about Carlisle Cathedral.
Hmm.
Some of that hot content coming on our Instagram soon, I imagine.
I'll tell you, it's the hottest misery cards on social media. It's a great...
I had an etiquette question for you, which is, you know the pews? Mm. I think you do. There are those cushions.
Aren't they that stuck-up family in Order 28?
That's good to say. Yeah. Always holding their noses.
Yeah, who do they think they are? Yeah, okay.
You know those red cushions they have? You know the cushions they have hanging on the hooks?
Yes. Well, they're not actually cushions.
I know. So is it bad etiquette to use them? Because I get sore if I'm in that, and I find pews quite hard. Is it bad etiquette to use them as cushions?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
They're for kneeling.
Okay, fine. Can you bring a cushion then?
I filmed a thing in my parish church. I filmed it. I think it was like Christmas night. I suddenly appeared on the telly and gave a reading from St. Matthew or something like that. I know. And I took my publicist, Lucy, who's Jewish, and who said, "Hold it, where's the cushions?" And she said, "We wouldn't sit on a hard wooden plank at the
synagogue.
Yeah,
thanks. Yeah. So I didn't know that, but we do. It's all part of the suffering.
And
don't want to miss an opportunity for a better suffering.
It's like an efficiency thing. Like, suffer while you sit.
Yeah, exactly.
You're wasting valuable time.
Some people do their pelvic floor. Some people just sit and suffer.
It's the suffering version of earn money while you sleep.
Yeah, it is.
Ask me how.
Yeah, local housewife finds way to suffer 24 hours a day from home. Wow, brilliant.
Well, I think it's better if you do it in church.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there is some going into the office involved.
Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask your advice, Em.
Oh, lovely.
Auntie Em. Mm-hmm. Because I was in a hotel this week and I realised I'd forgot my moisturiser. Now, if I don't moisturise, I can hardly... I'm like the man in the iron mask.
Has it become a daily practice for you?
Only if I wash.
Oh.
But, so I hadn't got any, and I could already feel that. You know what Tin Man is like at the beginning of when he can't move?
Yes, I do, because as you may recall, someone once said I looked like him. A man when I was on holiday said, "You know who you really remind me of?"
Tin Man?
The Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz. It was the worst thing anyone's ever said to me.
Were you wearing a sort of metallic face paint?
Apparently I look like him. Anyway,
okay.
Back to Frank Skinner.
It's a good look-alike.
Yeah, back to Frank Skinner in the studio.
So there was body lotion in the thing. So
God.
I thought, it's for the first time, I thought, can you put body lotion on your face?
Mm.
And I imagine, like, bad things might happen.
Yeah, because it's for your body.
Yeah, but isn't my face my body?
Well, then you've got to call the sort of soap philosopher's hotline.
I told you about the time I put hand lotion on and then I couldn't get out of the bathroom because I couldn't get a grip on the door handle. So I had to just towel it all off.
Pierre, this is quite serious. Can I ask you a question? Did you put that body lotion on your face?
Yes.
Oh, my God. What kind of body lotion was it? It wasn't hotel provided, was it?
It was, totally.
Oh, my God, it gets worse.
And also, there's a new move now, even in nice... And we've stayed in some nice hotels.
We have.
It used to be, if you stayed in a not very nice hotel, you got the plungers instead of actual soap. Do you know what I mean? Or little bottles. You used to get the plunger.
The sort of dispenser.
Yeah, but the dispenser that... what I hate about it is often you have to raise the plunger in order to then press it.
Yes. Yes.
And it's a faff. And when you raise it up, you hear... a terrible wheezing of this thing that doesn't want to be used that often.
Why have you awoken me?
Did you have to
leave
press,
me in peace.
Press its head.
And,
yeah, it's like the voice of the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, the haunted plunger.
Not on your face.
But those things, they're all right. They're like hand sanitizer. Suddenly it's shampoo and conditioner. You're pressing those things.
Back to the matter. Yeah. Did you put the body lotion
yes.
on your face?
Can't you tell?
I've got to be honest. You do look a little bit redder.
Yeah. Well, I'm embarrassed. I'm walking around. When I walked into Absolute Today, people, I saw people thinking, "Well, I don't want to share a towel with him, the bad luck guy." I need to know whether I've done myself damage.
It's reversible, I think.
Hmm?
Did you? The thing about body lotion, Frank...
I think we need to come to this, because I don't know the difference between, you know, to me...
Between body and face.
To me, it's just... Well, I said one could argue the face is a part of the body.
Speak for yourself.
But lotion, you know what I mean? It covers a multitude. It contains multitudes. Anyway, we'll find more lotion news after this. Then I'm going to play Billy Lotion. Oh, dear. No.
This is Frank Skinner. Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.
This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Pierre Novelli. We're not live, so don't text us. Don't text us. We're not live. We don't want you to waste your money. Follow us on X and Instagram at Frank on the Radio. email via frank@absoluteradio.co.uk. I just went to the toilet just for standing.
I love that story.
Just for standing up toilet. And I went up to the next floor where I usually go, and that toilet says, this toilet is not available.
Oh. To Frank Skinner.
And then, to you. And then I went up to the next one, and that was also not available. So I had to go down. What's happening?
Well, we should say... that we're moving buildings, aren't we? So I think it must be to do with that. We're moving from
moving from the floor, top floor, moving down, and it's all emptying.
I think it must be something to do with that. When I came in for this record, I saw two or three guys struggling a piano down a flight of stairs.
Wow. And were they wearing bowler hats?
Well, this is the thing. I felt... It couldn't have been more cinematic for me if I'd seen two men carrying a big pane of glass across the street before a car chase went through.
Was one of them twiddling his tie going,
Exactly. No, you knucklehead. Yeah, lots of that sort of thing going on.
Yeah.
But just because traditionally when you move buildings, the toilets don't stop working, do they?
I remember when the Golden Eagle did its last gig as a pub in Birmingham that used to have a lot of rock on. Yeah. And literally, people, I mean, they tore the bar down and took pieces of the... They stripped the place totally for souvenirs. Oh,
they did that at the BBC TV centre, didn't they?
Well, I was, possibly the last or the penultimate record at the BBC studios. I think it was at Have I Got News For You or something. And people were... Someone took a towel machine. You know those metal towel machines?
It's like on the wall of the toilet.
Yeah.
Oh. I suppose it's a souvenir.
Yeah.
If you went to someone's house, how unsettled would you be if their downstairs loo had a metal towel dispenser like in an airport toilet?
I'd be all right with that.
Yeah, I'd have questions.
Yeah, I try not to go in other people's toilets.
I'll tell you what I'm not all right with, Frank.
What aren't you all right with, Emily?
You slathering body lotion.
Yes.
But what's the difference between... What is? Without getting chemical...
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Try that with the Chemical Brothers.
Okay.
I'll tell you what the difference is. The skin on your face, Frank, particularly you have very good skin, may I say, is much thinner and more delicate. It's much more precious.
Yes.
Body lotion, it won't have gone through such a rigorous testing process.
Okay.
So you don't know what you're ending up with on that face of yours.
Yes.
Okay? Fragrances, all sorts going on. Please never, ever do that again.
Okay. But I just feel that my face will start to chip away, crack and fall off if I don't put some sort of moisturiser.
It's better to do nothing than put that rough stuff on.
Oh.
Okay.
What about olive oil?
That's what I said to my boyfriend back in the old days.
No, I did see a woman once, you know this, on a beach, putting Crisp and Dry on herself.
Oh, well, I did that. I had a mate.
Oh, you did?
I did. I had a mate who was, he was half Italian, so he's very olive-skinned.
Yeah.
And he said to me the best way to get a tan is
to grease
olive
yourself.
Olive oil. So
what?
I lay on the beach, I mean, for about 6 or 7 hours.
No.
And I thought, this is burning. I've obviously haven't got enough olive oil. And that night I was in, I think it was Kingston General Hospital.
What?
And the guy said, you're basically like someone who's come in and been in a house fire. He said, some of the burns on here are unbelievable. What have you been doing? I told him, and he just couldn't believe my stupidity.
Did he say, why did you roll in rock salt and thyme as well?
No. Well, it was...
Was the lemon juice really necessary?
Who would have thought you do something sensible, like put Crisp and Dry on your body?
You tried to literally cook yourself like a chicken.
Well, it was olive oil. It wasn't Crisp
and Dry. Oh, that's fine.
Crisp and Dry is the body lotion, whereas olive oil is the... Is
I think
the...
anything you would baste a chicken in, avoid.
Yeah.
So would you put body lotion on a chicken?
I was in quite a bad way. I was in the... They just, you know, were giving me painkillers, and he said, you need to have cold baths. Just fill the water. He said, it's the only way you'll be able to soothe it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then I won't go into that. My ankles swole up and all that sort of stuff.
Ankles?
Yeah, I couldn't get my... I remember I did a gig and I had driven there and I had to take my shoes and socks off. You know, the sink had got beer in it with ice. I had to put my feet in there.
You were still doing gigs?
Oh, God,
as a
yeah.
crispy, burnt man.
Because the show must... usually the show must go on. Yes. So, yes, I was.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
We were discussing Alfred Lord Tennyson last week.
We should say Alfred Lord Tennyson was a Victorian poet, a poet laureate, in fact. But he didn't call himself Lord Tennyson or Lord Alfred Tennyson. He called him Alfred. He called himself Alfred Lord Tennyson, always.
Which I always imagined him saying as Alfred Lord Tennyson.
Yeah.
Or...
Yeah, if someone said, oh, you Alfred Tennyson. Alfred Lord Tennyson. Got it?
What yes. if there were just too many Alfreds around?
There
it's
was
me,
lot,
Alfred.
Plenty of
Lord
Alfred.
Tennyson.
Yeah.
Oh, God, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, look, well, who's your favourite Alfred?
The Great, of course.
Oh, I like the Batman butler.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That is a good one.
Yeah. What's his name? Pennyworth.
I like E. Newman, the mad cover star.
Yes.
Read Mad a lot when I was a child.
So we were pondering the mystery of Alfred Lord Tennyson and why he insisted on that sort of nomenclature.
But yeah, the sort of syntax of his name, really.
Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you, because he was a bit boastful.
Well, we have an answer. We have an answer from David in Preston, who is clearly our sort of Debrett's correspondent.
Because he wasn't the one who wrote about Lord Alfred Tennyson last time, was he? This is a different person.
I'm unsure.
Okay.
But David clarifies, sorry for the terrible pedantry. Please try to...
Never, ever apologise for that on this show.
No, this is a palace of pedantry.
He definitely didn't say peasantry.
Sorry for the terrible pedantry. Please try to stay awake.
All right.
It's Alfred, Lord Tennyson, because he is a baron. but cannot be called Lord First Name Tennyson, e.g. Lord Alfred Tennyson. That is a privilege reserved for the younger sons of dukes and marquises.
Of course.
Such as Lord Alfred Douglas, Lord Colin Campbell, or in fiction, Lord Sebastian
Fleck. It's all right for Lord Alfred Douglas, who brought down that lovely man, Oscar Wilde.
That's right.
He can use it.
Obosi.
Yeah.
That's right. So he adds, this was important in Victorian times. This subtle distinction is rarely observed in the present day. Thank you, David.
David and Preston, you say with some regret.
Yeah,
but I like, because David and Preston includes the word impress in a way.
Yes.
And he's impressive. I like stuff like that. I know now. Yeah. I know the answer.
And David impressed on us the importance of different title variations and things. Mm. But yeah, so he was a baron, that's why.
Okay. Who knew? Who knew he was a baron?
Frank, I would like to share something else with you, which is from Andy in Haywards Heath, who's one of our regulars.
Mm.
Dear Frank and team, I've just been reminded of Emily's feelings on people wearing lanyards or laminates in public to show off.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember? I have touched on this previously.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know exactly.
What I mean is, when someone's wandering through with a sort of slight air of authority or superiority, so when they're going to pret-a-manger on their lunch break and they've still got their lanyard on, their work lanyard, I just think you sort of want me, I'm a busy, important office worker, put it in your bag. I just don't like lanyards in public, okay?
Okay. I feel I might have broken this
Why?
Week. Well, I got a Judas Priest VIP laminate this week.
Stop showing off.
I wouldn't say I was quick to take it off.
Yeah. Did you go to pret with it on, though?
No.
Okay.
Only because I didn't go to pret.
Fair enough.
So, yeah. Andy continues, I've just stopped to let a Porsche park up at my local supermarket, and I noticed the driver is an airline pilot. How do I know this? He is still wearing the shirt with his epaulets.
Okay.
Sit down, mate. We've seen you.
Yeah. I don't know what you can do about that, because we were at motorway services the other day, and there was a guy in, like, the mother of all wars type, the desert.
Desert Storm.
Desert Storm type outfit, you know, sort of light-coloured army uniform.
Sort of turbo camo.
But maybe it's hard to get out. I'd be self-conscious if I had that on in a thing.
I think
people might ask me for help if anything went wrong.
If you're driving between military bases is one thing, but if you're just doing the weekly big shop with your pilot's epaulets on.
Yeah.
I know, but pilots... If I saw someone wandering around with a pilot's uniform, I'd be straight over. You know they're my weakness, Frank.
Yeah, well, I can't help it.
It's the authority.
I never drive around between bases.
Oh.
That's my thing.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Alex Ware has got in touch with us.
Yes.
In WWE wrestling, when wrestlers get sacked, the press release says, we wish them luck with their future endeavours. So, good luck with your future endeavours.
Thank you very much. Since when do wrestlers get sacked?
You have to do something quite bad.
Since when do they have future endeavours?
Yeah, well, I always say...
Since when do they issue press releases?
The one phrase I'm avoiding is other projects.
Yes.
Which, as I've said, always means a 1,000-piece jigsaw, in my experience.
We wish The Undertaker the best of luck in his future endeavours.
Yeah.
Presumably at a funeral home.
Is The Undertaker still a wrestler?
Still going.
Who was the other one? Owen R. Scheister.
I don't know. I don't.
Is that a wrestler?
He was the accountant.
When I watched wrestling, they didn't look like that. They looked like the men you saw fighting on pub car parks on a Friday night with big beer bellies, balding. Yeah, and I mean, it was a real
back in the halcyon days.
Proper roughhouse. I used to go to wrestling, and it was I must have told you about Lord Bertie Topham.
No.
It was guaranteed to get any crowd absolutely screaming with rage. And the crowds were mad. I saw a wrestler roll to the side of the ring. An old woman must have been, well, younger than me, but old. Then I thought, jumped up and put a cigarette out on his back.
Oh,
that's what it was very medieval. And
I couldn't find an ashtray, to be fair, Frank. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Who's this person who enraged the crowd?
So Lord Bertie Topham. So
not Bertie Lord Topham.
No.
No. He was a baron.
Yeah. He wasn't a baron.
Did Bertie Topham have? Was he branded? Topham. Did he have like a top hat? Or
yes,
a
you had. You had to have your thing.
Yeah.
There were some people who were just scary blokes. I've seen women wrestling as well. There was Black Widow, who wore a black leotard with like a lovely gold spider web on it, and she would come on. The crowd would boo, and she would give them an obscene gesture, which began at canvas level and rose high above her head. I can read the most elaborate use of the V sign I have ever seen in my life. And she always did that. But Lord Bertie Topham's angle, and this is how he got the crow. Bear in mind, we're in Smethwick at a swimming baths where they had wrestling on. He would come out and he'd have his valet carrying his bottle on a tray. Lord Bertie had a monocle. And he had a cloak and a top hat.
Right.
And he would come into the ring and go, "Oh, my God, I think I can smell working class people." The audience went absolutely insane. Frank Skinner.
Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio.
We were discussing Lord Bertie Topham.
You've got into some deep Googling.
Yeah.
Of course, Pierre's looked him up. I thought, God, if he's not on the internet, Pierre will be another one of Frank's lying again.
Listeners, Frank is obsessed with the idea that I believe him to be a liar.
Yeah, exactly. He's in the back of the car sometimes, and I'll say to Omar, "Oh, yeah, I used to like this television programme, Laramie, I can hear." To see P.S. in if it existed or I'm just riffing.
We go through this every week. Frank will mention something obscure, like some weird Birmingham wrestler.
Yeah.
And then you hear the click, 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 click.
Yeah.
And then Frank says, do you not believe me?
No, that's where we are.
I think if I would rather live in a world where you are filled with these terrible suspicions, but in exchange for those terrible suspicions, I get to see a picture of Lord Bertie Topham because he looks incredible.
I like how we've got a bit The Notebook romantic comedy. I would rather live in a world.
Yeah. Well, if that's the deal.
I've never Googled. I'm happy that he is on there. What does it say? Does it say anything notable about him?
It does, yes. Wrestling Codeology told fans, quote, "He's a real live millionaire." So that was
fair enough.
Yeah. And Lord Bertie Topham, as you say, was accompanied. So top hat, cane, monocle, cloak.
Of course he did.
Walk unhurriedly to the ring, accompanied by his faithful valet, Ponsonby.
Well,
Ponsonby. He's gone so Group 1, hasn't he?
So you say valet, do you, rather than valet?
I only know valet is the way to say it because of Jeeves and Worcester.
So is that the posh way? So I'm saying it the...
Well, no, because valet parking is an Americanism.
I see.
So valet is fine over there. They don't know.
But valet parking sounds terrible.
Well, that's why. Valet for butler, valet for the Americans.
It's an odd. So we've gone valet, but we get our meat as a fillet, not as a fillet.
But in America, fillet of fish.
Yeah.
McDonald's. Was the dog called Ponsonby?
The valet is Ponsonby.
Oh, the valet.
And he's carrying a silver tray, decanter and wine glass, his lordship's refreshments between rounds.
Yeah, but what used to happen...
Steak and kidney pie.
All of this, no explanation as to what he's doing there.
But one, Lord Bertie... Well, everyone had a second.
Yeah.
So Lord Bertie would take someone in a headlock... And
doesn't
then he
sound
would,
very posh.
And then he would march them over to the ropes so their head was sticking out. And then the valet would hit them with the tray.
I didn't see that episode of Jeeves and Worcester.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a real loud, you know, bang. And often it would buckle on their heads.
Did the valet then say, "Decidedly so, sir"?
But I'll tell you what, though, he kept up the... If that wasn't his accent, he kept it up very well, because some of them would lap. maps. For example, they was once introduced Miss Cleopatra all the way from Egypt. And she was there saying, you know, I am no one will can beat me and all this. And then later on, he told her off this thing and she said, I never touched her. I don't know what you're on about. I went nowhere near her.
Cleopatra.
And he thought, oh, what part of Egypt? Is this the southwest of Egypt, maybe? Frank Skinner. Frank Skinner.
Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio. So we're discussing Lord Bertie Topham, the posh wrestler.
This
was
supposed to be
a
throwaway reference, and of course you've gone deep.
It's great, and he has a butler called Ponsonby who beats people with a silver tray.
Is he a butler or is he a valet?
Sorry, a valet. He is a valet, yes. A butler is in a household.
I know, they were on the road, these ones.
Yeah.
So, what about wrestling? He told fans, I love that he was a real live millionaire.
A real live millionaire.
Remember, then, that was still quite a rare thing. They're all over the place now.
Well, so, there's a literary... We can meld the worlds of wrestling and literature, which is a rare thing.
Ponsonby, well, I don't think it is.
Oh,
I suggest you read Roland Barthes' essay on wrestling, in which he describes it as a modern morality play.
Posting that later on Instagram.
And argues it very well.
Well, although Ponsonby was usually the servant accompanying Lord Bertie, there were exceptions. Willoughby, Mahoney and Fothergill were occasional names used. And following the November 1960 prosecution of Penguin Books for the publication of Lady Chatterley's Lover, Topham introduced a new assistant, a masked gamekeeper Mellors.
Oh, wow!
Imagine
literary wrestling figure.
Yeah, topical stuff as well.
You know,
I would have gone to see
The Ancient Mariner. They should have got him involved in the brawl.
Clubbing people with the bird round his neck.
Yeah. That Mellors.
Gamekeeper Mellors, the masked Gamekeeper Mellors. It's amazing.
Did they have a Lady Chatterley?
Wow.
They should have.
The Cleopatra doubled up.
Yeah.
Now, she was a bit lighter than Topham.
One of them says describes the experience of being Ponsonby as sort of annoying the spectators by sneering at the opponent's boots and things.
Yeah.
Quote, by now the ringside was going hysterical with anger, and at that point, Lord Bertie emerged. I enjoyed the idea of being Ponsonby until the reality of being attacked and abused by punters hit home.
Yeah, that was one thing. That was one thing. One thing Lord Bertie didn't mention in the interviews.
Yeah, because people will put their cigarettes out on you.
Do you know what I do like about Ponsonby?
Can I say I also saw a hat pin attack by an old lady? Do you remember the hat
stop
pin?
Stop boasting.
A hat pin?
Yes.
That is
she actually
from a
took her hat pin out and stuck it in this guy's leg. It was a wrestler.
What, was she a member of the audience?
Yes. Oh,
why didn't someone stop her?
She had a hat pin.
One thing that Ponsonby would do, and this is classic Ponsonby. Ponsonby, what about when he'd make it his business to check the cleanliness of the referee?
Oh, and yeah, that rings a bell.
Often demanding he washed his hands in the water that Ponsonby would provide. He'd bring a water bowl.
Yes, I remember that, look, particularly the fingernails, if I remember rightly, used to be studied.
Yes. He was an absolute stickler for cleanliness.
He was sort of Howard Hughes figure topper.
No, that was Ponsonby.
Oh, but he's following orders.
Well, exactly. He's just doing what Topham wants.
I don't want you to see Ponsonby as some sort of free agent. Absolutely not the case. Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Pierre Novelli. We're not live. So don't text us. It's nothing ominous about that. We're allowed to be live. We just can't. You can follow us on X and Instagram at Frank on the Radio. Email via frank@absoluteradio.co.uk. So I went to see Judas Priest in Birmingham, picked my son up from school. Mm. Packed lunch in the car, ready for him.
I like that you give them a pass, even though they're called Judas.
Well, it's interesting that because everyone says they got it from Judas Priest and Frankie Lee, the the Bob Dylan song, which is actually on... There's a Bob Dylan album. I'll just mention this. It's an interesting point. There's a Bob Dylan album called John Wesley Harding about a sort of a Wild West. Well, he was a killer, but obviously also a hero because it was the Wild West. And his name was actually John Wesley Harding. But Bob Dylan got it wrong and nobody did anything about it. Before, if he had Pierre.
Were they
with
too
him,
frightened to
he
tell
needs
him?
To have Pierre. He would have been all been.
Well, yeah, then,
yeah, but
well,
then Bob would have said, get him out of here.
Bob Dylan, no,
up.
You don't believe me. You think I'm lying.
Checking up on me all the time.
Asking me to drop the G. You'd assume that was a drug, wouldn't you? So I'm going to drop the G tonight.
Bob's been dropping his G's
What's
again.
What's going on?
Frank, so hang on. Did Bob Dylan make a mistake and they were too frightened to tell him? Is
well,
that what
I
you're
don't
saying?
Know if I, it was, it, one forgets that, you know, pre...
Google
and all that. People just made mistakes and they just went. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Just saying.
Go on, back to Judas Priest.
So I first saw Judas Priest back in I think 76 at Birmingham.
Did you go with R. Keith?
No. And you know, so I met them recently, as you know, but now we went to see them in the gig. I'm not kidding you. It's one of my best gigs. I don't know how many gigs I've seen, but hundreds and hundreds. I was watching gigs when I was 15, you know. It's honestly one of the best ones ever. They were if you get a chance to see Priest on tour, go. They are really fantastic. I loved it. And we met them in the dressing room. And I'm not saying that because I've met them a couple of times. And Glenn Tipton was there. He doesn't always do the gigs, but he was there. He's like a lead guitarist. And Boz was talking about a kid at school who had been getting on his nerves and stuff like that. And Glenn Tipton, who's from West Bromwich, said, "Why don't you just punch him in the face?" And the lead singer, Rob, said, "Oh, don't say that to him." And there was no element of joke about it. That's what I like. So I have a remedy for this problem.
It's really, really funny to imagine saying that to the head teacher if you get in trouble as a kid. Well, Judas Priest said.
Glenn Tipton of Judas Priest.
Judas Priest told me to do it.
Yeah, oh, man.
And if Judas Priest told you to jump off a cliff, would you?
Yes. Well, what happened is that I have bad dad guilt. In that I take earplugs when we go to heavy metal gigs, but I don't really enforce earplugs. And I said to him, I'm starting to feel bad about this because everyone you meet says you've got to do it. So I said, I need you to wear the earplugs. And he said, OK, I'll do it. So it's just those things you get like in hotels. I don't have any of those fancy noise reduction, blah, blah. But we were driving back. I said, well done for wearing the earplugs. He said, yeah. I took them out for the songs I really liked. So that was like virtually every song. So that was pointless. But I am doing bad dad. Someone will text in, not today because there's no text today, but at some point and say, you're doing some real damage. You make me feel awful. Okay. That's all I'm saying. I'm thinking when little Brooklyn Beckham was a baby and they used to take him to football matches with those enormous ear protectors.
Maybe by the time they text in, you know.
Yeah, I'll be long gone. I knew a bloke whose wife wore industrial ear protectors at mealtimes because she couldn't stand the sound he made when he was eating.
Well, I wear them every night.
That sounds good to
Do
me.
Do you?
Yeah, I'd never be without my earplugs. I've got state of the art. I've got about 7 pairs.
But it's not like big, those industrial ones.
They're not industrial, but they're pretty they're pretty extraordinary looking.
What, you wear them around the house?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't want raised tip tapping. That'll set my teeth on edge.
No.
Dog on lino.
No, well, I'm getting... I don't know if you can hear it on air, but there's a lot of hammering going on today. They're actually building a gallows in Golden Square.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
So, as you may... Well, as you guys know, but as the listeners may know, I grew up mostly on the Isle of Man.
Mm.
But it's not the only island heritage in my family... Frank, my grand's from the Orkney Islands.
Okay.
So I've still got some...
I've never been. I'd like to go there.
It's nice, the Orkney Islands. Windy.
Shall we go?
Yes.
Hi.
Yes. The last show broadcast from
Stornoway. No, maybe not do it from up there, but, you know.
From Strunsy.
Might have an issue with the mics.
Maybe.
Bit windy up those parts, isn't
no
it?
No trees.
There's walls, though.
No trees, though. Too windy for trees.
Well, when Samuel Johnson, the 18th century writer, went to Scotland, the thing he writes about most is the lack of trees.
Oh, really?
Is that right?
He goes on and on about it.
Oh,
okay. He says says something like, the highest tree I saw in Scotland wouldn't make the legs of a small table or something like that. But, yeah, but there is a reason for it, some terrible economic thing.
Sort of deforestation.
But he goes on and on about it. Deforestation.
Tree.
Didn't he play Dr. McCoy in Star Trek?
Oh, my God.
Well, as a result of my link with the Orkneys...
Yes.
I keep abreast of all the comings and goings, all the news. Maybe a distant relative pops
alerts.
Up.
Frank gets those, but they're sci-fi related.
Yeah. I get Who News.
Oh, God. There's a shop in Orkney that has accidentally ordered more Easter eggs than the entire population of the island.
How many people live there then about?
To be fair, when I did see this, I initially thought, but there must be thousands. And then I remembered it. We are talking about one of the many Orkney islands. So it's not that much.
I think it said 500 and he'd ordered 720 eggs. Can I ask a question about this? And I aim this, I think, mainly at Emily, but that might be of me. What about that much discussed inalienable right to return goods?
Mm.
You know, Kath, my partner, I would say rather than buy clothes online, she just gives them a bit of a day out.
Yeah.
Oh,
they come to our house, they get tried on, must think, oh, yeah, I needed to stretch those folds out. And then they go back in the bag and then they go away again.
When I've worked on fashion magazines in the past, that was fairly common practice. Call in designer clothes sometimes from websites. Mm. The key is leave the tag in.
No, but Kath, not Keith, he never did it. That's my brother. Kath is hoping to keep them.
Yes.
But I would say she keeps 10% of the clothes she gets online. Mm. The rest go back.
So it's a very harsh auditioning process.
Oh, God, it's terrible. It's like
but you can't get the
crown.
So are you suggesting you could
somebody
buy an
told
egg?
Me that the person who, when they auditioned... apparently for Harold Wilson's in The Crown, that the producer asked them to write an essay each to say why they wanted to be Harold, why they should play Harold Wilson.
Yeah, somebody
what?
Told me. I think we know who had a little audition.
For Harold Wilson.
Well, for Harold Wilson.
How good's your Wilson?
Yeah, well, as I think I said at the Brighton conference...
I
probably, maybe I could have done it.
Pretty good.
Why haven't you been in The Crown? You
good luck with your future
because
endeavors.
I won't write the essay. All right.
What about Pierre when Frank had to audition? Where was it you had to audition, Frank, for an American?
Oh, God. It was a thing. I don't know if it happened. It was something like LA law, but it wasn't that. It was illegal. It's a legal thing. And I had to learn the thing, and it's an American accent. But my only American accent that I've got is Wild West Old Timer. So I was saying, anyone fancy a cappuccino? Because I really would like to discuss that Finkelstein case. And I didn't get it. I didn't get the
part.
They needed a sheriff's office as well as the ordinary offices that they could go, and I'd be the helpful old timer. But it was the woman really looked at me like, just get out.
What you were doing, Frank, You were doing a bit of a Ponsonby, weren't you?
Well, I've heard some names. It's a disaster. Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio.
We were talking about the Easter egg man on the Orkneys.
Orcadian egg scandal.
Is it okay for me to say Orkneys? Is it over familiarising myself? Do I have a right? Do I dare?
I think it's okay.
Okay, I just want to check.
So I don't know why he didn't return it.
Frank's saying, why didn't he return them? Mm. Because it's food stuff.
Yeah.
What are you meant to do? Take a bite out of it? Say he didn't like it?
Well, it would all be sealed up. They look like they're on pallets.
I think the island of Sanday, which is where this is happening, is remote enough that there's probably a considerable expense in sending something
back. Here's the other thing.
And faff.
But the guy delivered it, presumably. He must have seen it and thought,
but
he'll
have to pay to send it back, maybe.
Yeah, but he said when the lorry turned up, filled to the brim with Easter eggs, I quote, Dan Dafydd, I believe he's called, he said he felt great shame and embarrassment. Imagine being us.
Yeah, well, what he actually said, which was interesting, he said he felt surprise, shock and shame. And I thought he started honestly with surprise and then he got into the alliteration and got a bit carried
shock
away.
Shock and shame. I can't imagine falling to my knees going, oh, the shame of it, so many eggs.
I think he just liked saying shock and shame. Yeah. Well, he maybe should have got on to say that he might have been shafted by the suppliers. That's what Sean Connery would have said, who's probably been up there.
Is he the last person that sat in that chair?
No, who talks like ish? I don't know if anyone else talks like
I would say, controversially, voice of controversy here, I'm nominating myself, 720 eggs he ordered, population of 500.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it that many? 1.5 each.
If they club together, they could.
Yeah, but it's not that many.
I would have thought, I would generally, certainly as a child, eat more than one egg.
If I got less than three, there were problems.
Yeah.
I always dreamt as a child of a fully solid Easter egg. Imagine it. The way through, like a boulder.
Did your parents knock at the door and pretend to be the Easter Bunny?
No.
Oh.
The first egg... First egg my son got, because Kath is very... Kath didn't like him having sugar and all that, you know. And doesn't let him have a brain licker.
No.
Toxic waste. She won't allow those sweets. Anyway...
It's almost like she cares about him.
I know. Meaning... Yeah, never mind the earplugs.
I've already nominated you best prime. Father. Come on.
But... she finally gave in when he was about two to get him an Easter egg. She agreed with that just once a year. And when he bit into it, it was that egg of which you dreamt. It was absolutely solid through. Oh, she couldn't take it away from him. So he had like 10 years of Easter egg in one go.
Oh, my God.
Right, you introduced me, though, to... a special kind of egg, a special kind of chocolate, which I'd never experienced.
Blondie. Yes.
I think you'll find it's called.
Mm. Yeah, blonde is the best of the chocolates. I saw a blonde egg the other day.
Did you? Yeah. And?
Noted. That's all I'm saying. I like to wait till like 2 days after when they're half price, even though it's exactly the same chocolate they're in within date, but they're just the context. How much we pay for their context? We're still in the Orkneys, are we not?
Yes, they've decided very kindly to raffle the Easter eggs, but I think you're right. I think
that's a strange choice, isn't it?
Why?
It's good. To raise money for charity.
No, it's good. And I'm all for the RNLI, obviously, but the winner gets 100 Easter eggs.
100 eggs.
It's appealing to greed. I don't think that's
right. What would you do with 100 Easter eggs?
One each. What he should do is distribute them.
In Orkney, I'd build a windbreak.
Mm.
Dry stone walling with Easter eggs.
Mm. I think I'd get naked and use them as an erotic ball pit that I dived into. I'd get all the paper off them so they're just chocolate and I'd just roll about in the chocolate. How about that?
On your own?
Oh, yeah.
Like Scrooge McDuck, sort of swimming in them.
Sorry, Pierre. He's completely on his own in this egg.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going in. Or you could do the...
That sounded like a sporting metaphor. He's completely alone in the egg pit.
We all are, of course. Truth is, we are all completely alone.
We're all alone in the egg pit.
We are all of us alone in our own egg pit.
So, but some of us are looking at the stars.
Yeah. or... Well, you're looking at the star. You were talking about it earlier. The Daily Star. You could do that, Elvis. You know when Elvis sent the boys into town, the Memphis Mafia, to buy every light bulb they could find in Memphis, brought them back, then tipped them all into his swimming pool, and he sat with an air rifle for like a day and a half until he'd shot every bulb. Out of the thing.
What?
And then he had to pay something like, and this is the 70s, he had to pay like $20,000 to get the pool clean because it was full of broken
glass. It was full of glass.
Yeah.
You know,
you could do that with the eggs.
If I returned to university, I would, if I decided to do a PhD, it would be in that very subject, the complicated internal group dynamic and dysfunction in Elvis's Memphis gang.
The Memphis Mafia.
I'm fascinated
Elvisian by it. Dynamics.
Yeah, the Elvisian dynamics.
It would be a good PhD title.
Yeah?
I've got a PhD in Elvisian dynamics. What does that involve? Shooting light bulbs, fast food,
imagine
constipation.
Imagine I went on a mastermind and answered that. Elvisian dynamics.
But bear in mind, Elvis, he was, you know, he was the first real major one. He had nothing to learn from. Mm. The Beatles always say the fact that Elvis had happened first really helped them because they'd seen what was going to be. But he was really...
That's how we know. That's how we knew not to shoot all those light bulbs.
Yeah. I've seen that documentary.
Haven't you got
that.
A mother or a father?
Keep it light. Thanks, Frank.
So, sorry, I wasn't talking to you. I was quoting... I forgot a mother or a father.
All right.
It's a bit. Is it too late for me to get my job back by playing the orphan card?
Let's play the Annie card, Frank.
Yeah. Oh, God. No, I think there's an age limit on using the word orphan.
Yeah. We're beyond the orphan.
We could write to Bernardo's.
No. Frank.
It's gone. It's gone. I've missed my window, my orphan window. Frank Skinner. Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio. When you wish up honest, when you buy a chocolate egg.
Yes.
Like, I noticed he'd ordered some Smarty eggs, for example.
This is Orkney's, man.
Yeah.
Dan Dafydd.
I am not keen on the fact the Smarties are put in... I don't know if they still do this, but the tradition was to put the Smarties in a plastic bag and then inside the egg.
Oh, I hate that.
Yes.
It always reminds me of, you know, when you buy, like, a turkey and you get... like the thorax or something inside in a bag.
Yes, yeah. The giblets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that. And I'm on...
we gutted this egg in the wild, and of course
Kinders, I don't believe you can get them in the US anymore.
Kinder eggs are illegal in the
US. Yes, they're illegal now.
Yeah, that's because they're a choking hazard.
But there are other issues as well, I believe.
Are there? Okay. I think one of the main problems was that you can't sell anything in which a non-edible item is hidden within an edible item. In case you take a Kinder egg and swallow it like a lozenge and then find there's a small thing that will build into a bicycle inside a plastic yolk.
Okay, what about those tequila lollipops then?
That's a different world. I've got some Takis, a Takis lollipop that you dip into Takis powder and lick. And I love Takis, but that is disgusting. But I'm on Saturday Kitchen this morning.
Yes.
Oh.
And how can that be, you ask? Well, let's not go into it. Mm. But... there was a thing on that where I had to pick whether I got food heaven or food hell, and I held up two chocolates and I had to hit them, I think, with a hammer, one of them with a hammer. And it was full of, like, coloured Smarties, but it was just... there was no bag. It was like a piñata. Oh. It was, and that was very satisfying. To break the egg and then cascading Smarties. That's what they should do.
Yeah, as opposed to, like you say, a giblet bag, as if you were going to boil down the Smarties for stock.
Yeah, exactly. Can I say one more quote from Daffid, the shopkeeper on Sanders?
Quote, okay.
He said...
Alexander Pope.
He said he was just riffing about where he lives and how he chose the charity, and he said, "We are a small island surrounded by sea." Oh. Yeah. I thought, well, that's unusual for an island. I hadn't imagined you were living on a traffic island with a population of 500.
It could have been surrounded by fresh water.
It was
big lake.
I hadn't thought of that.
You never think of the big lake, Frank.
No, you're right. I always miss the big lake, the big picture.
Well, here we go, brains in the numbskulls. That's what he would have been, Pierre, brains in the numbskulls.
Oh, we had... what are they called? Cupcake. Percy Pig cupcakes we had on tour.
Yeah.
Did you?
You take them like shots. You just take the...
I get a bit jealous. Can I be really honest? I get a bit jealous of some of your fun times on tour. I come along?
No. Yeah, you can come along.
Be a bit tragic, wouldn't it?
How are you with long car journeys?
Love it. I might even drive.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think Omar would like that.
Oh, why?
Well, you know, he's a tour manager. He's got the badge and everything. Thank you so much for listening to us. And if the good Lord spares us and the creeks don't rise, I'm still going to keep saying it.
Orcs.
We'll be back again. Well, we will be back again next week. Are we live next week?
We are.
We'll be live as well, so it'll be great to hear from you guys. Again, can I express my gratitude, but more than anything, my love for all the lovely stuff that's been said this week. And I forgot time to just tell one very, very quick thing. A woman stopped. I was walking past a cafe and there's a woman that sits outside who occasionally we speak, and she stopped me and she said, "Come in, I've got something for you in my bag." And she got out a tiny plastic container with about 6 Doctor Who cards. And she said, "I saw that on the market and I thought you needed cheering up." Isn't that lovely? And they are very good, Sylvester McCoy. That's all I'm saying. This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.